one and all, once again to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 145. This week we have a very stylish show lined up for you, but before we get there, let's introduce our panel. We have from the, I guess, Canada, Trent.
Howdy, y'all. How are we doing today?
So you're a Southern American now? Howdy, y'all.
Hey, well, you haven't been to Carleton County, because, like, the people in my part of my province, in my section of Canada, are basically the United States. We all talk that way.
The people in my part of my province, of my county in Canada. That is the most Canadian thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It happens.
Well, you wouldn't know this, but as I said it, I was also rubbing maple syrup on myself.
That's... Wow. Moving on.
If you're watching hockey, we have Ben.
Hello, that's me. This is my first time since, I think, like this summer being on the show, so thanks for having me.
This is my first time, but not my first time.
Yeah. First time this month, let's put it that way. That's a first.
And we have Justin.
Hello.
Howdy.
I don't know.
So this week, if Trent had read the schedule, he would have known that we're talking about live-action comic book TV series. The reason I'm being very specific about that is because we have talked about the general comic book properties, including movies and animations, and this is more focused on just the live-action stuff, partially because of the premiere of, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night on ABC. Well, I guess last night as of this recording, Tuesday as of when you hear this. And lucky enough for us, this timing, and I'm sure DC and Warner worked this out as well, we also had news of a new DC live-action series that is set to premiere next year called Gotham, which will focus on a young James Gordon. But before we get there, I think we should talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. since that is the most recent show on our list. So did anybody get a chance to check out the premiere episode?
I did.
What were your thoughts?
Let's see, thoughts. It was pretty solid, actually. I was tweeting a few of my thoughts. I don't really think anyone paid attention to them. But the general consensus I got, at least, was it held up to the typical Joss Whedon sense of humor. And it seemed to have a lot of potential for depth, because they explored a few different topics in the one episode. And, like, they teased at a few things, and teased at a few comic book references, too, like the Spider-Man... with great responsibility, sort of, quote, and a few other, like the Chitauri were the main sort of overarching antagonists, and then there was also hints of extremists from Iron Man 3. So there's a lot of stuff going on that they seemed that they wanted to build off of.
Well, there weren't hints of extremists from Iron Man 3. Extremist was in this movie.
Yeah, extremist was the main one. There were hints of Chitauri. I should clarify that, I guess, yeah.
I'm kind of with you, and I kind of feel like there was too much for them to kind of put into this pilot, because we have S.H.I.E.L.D., which has been a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is this show is part of, mm-hmm. but this is a different part of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is a much more, I guess, ground-level aspect of the S.H.I.E.L.D. This isn't the S.H.I.E.L.D. that's in the Helicarrier and stuff like this. This isn't Nick Fury. So you actually have to introduce, draw that connection to that movie's S.H.I.E.L.D., but you also have to introduce your five new characters, because the only characters returning from the movies are Agent Phil Coulson and Maria Hill, who's only has a cameo appearance, and she's not really set to be a major star in this season.
Right.
So you had to introduce them, you had to introduce the concept, you had to introduce the aspect of powers, you had to introduce the elements that carry over from the movies, like extremists, like the event in New York, the aliens, how people are dealing with that. And then you have to introduce your five main characters. And then you have to introduce the monster of the week. So there was a lot going on in an hour. And I felt like this show didn't really... I felt like the thing that stood out the most to me were the characters. Because coming
out
of the episode, I don't really know any of them. And I'm not
I felt
saying
exactly
that,
the same.
Yeah. I'm not saying I should know the life story, but I honestly... Could you name all five of them?
Honestly, to me, I think it became a little hard to even recognize a few of them. Like, I know at the very end of the episode, there were two of them kind of, like, smiling to the main cast. And, like, I couldn't recognize if one of them was actually a scientist from earlier in the episode or not. Or even just in, like, one of the first scenes when they're developing one of the main characters, there was a fight scene going on with him. And I couldn't recognize him because they had obviously just introduced him. So it became a little hard to recognize them like you said.
Yeah, yeah. And I know what you mean. It's the scientist, and it's the, I guess, the computer hacker. We look very similar in appearance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very hard to tell. But, like I said, I assume that's something you can iron out as the show goes on. I just felt coming out of the first episode, that I didn't have any real... The only person I really had any connection to was Coulson, and that's because I knew him from the movies already. And here, it's really... He plays an odd authority figure here, but he always has had that lightheartedness to him in the movies, and I guess they wanted to carry it over. I just feel like they push it too much in this show. Like, I'm all for lightheartedness, as we'll get to when we talk about other shows, but I do think that you need a balance if you're going to try for that, and I feel like this show held all of its like serious tense moments for the end during the dramatic scene instead of kind of sprinkling out throughout the show.
Yeah, I think it could have done that maybe a little bit better. It seemed to definitely take a more lighthearted route in the beginning, and then at the very end is when it actually got serious. I mean, in terms of actually like the sort of topics they were dealing with the antagonist alone, and then like the conflict at hand too, got pretty serious pretty quickly, and then you kind of shed the funny undertones and like the kind of not happy-go-lucky, but the more like cheery atmosphere, I guess.
Yeah, and then it kind of ends with a Back to the Future reference.
Yeah, so it kind of had a weird pacing as far as that goes. It wasn't unnatural. I think it just maybe could use some ironing out.
Yeah, which again, I think is something that we'll probably see once they get their footing, especially being that I feel like Josh Whedon probably had his hand the most in this episode, and as the other writers and showrunners kind of get more control over it, we'll probably see things, slow down. And they don't really need to have as much element with the Avengers movies and universe in this show beyond the pilot, because I'm assuming none of us are expecting a Captain America or Iron Man to show up in an episode.
Probably not. They said that they said that they might do it if they can, but I really, but like, it's not something that I would expect, like, within this season.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll take some strings.
If anything, I would expect it closer to Avengers 2 in 2015.
Right.
Like, if a big season finale.
Or even like what they did with the Extremis arc and just kind of reference events that have happened in it. Like, I felt like that was a pretty good way to kind of bounce back from Iron Man 3 and just say like, hey, Iron Man 3 just happened. Also, the Avengers happened. So, you know, we're going to reference those things.
Okay. So how far after this does... So how far, like, does this take after Avengers and after Iron Man?
They don't say.
Okay, because I thought Iron Man 3 was like the winter immediately after New York in Avengers, right?
Yeah, it's pretty close. I mean, we don't know if Avengers is this summer, but Iron Man 3 is pretty much right after it.
Yeah, it's like a few months at most.
And this, I mean, this is beyond Iron Man 3, so I'd say roughly maybe a year since the Alien attack.
Okay.
I mean, granted, in the grand scheme of things, it's a comic book TV show. I assume timeline won't make a difference. They'll squeeze in what they need to squeeze in. And I don't think it needs to, again, it doesn't need to reconnect back to the movies, because I assume the movies won't concern themselves with what happens here. Even
yeah, because they already said that they already said that Coulson will not be in Avengers 2.
Which makes sense, kind of. I don't know how long they're going to keep his death a secret. I don't know how long you can keep his death a secret, because apparently S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't secure based on that hacker chick.
I mean, and we just spoiled it for anyone who hadn't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too, I guess. Or who didn't know that he was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, okay, there are like 18 billion commercials with him on it, so I think everybody and their dog knows by now.
Yeah, I was about to say, when they announced this show...
wasn't that like the first clip that they showed where he was alive too?
Yeah. Yeah, when I was there at New York Comic Con, when they announced it, and they announced that Coulson would be the backbone of the show. So it's not something they've hidden. He's in the front of the marketing promotion. It's him and everybody else. So it's not a
They even like go so far as to mention that this happened after Avengers. So you can't be like, oh, it's a prequel.
I mean, they don't really explain too much about what happened, but that seems to be one of the big mysteries that's ended up with the show, which I'm interested in seeing how that plays out.
Yeah, they explained enough for him to actually be there, and then just kind of, that's all.
One of my friends said a life model decoy.
But yeah, I mean, there are, there are not a series.
Right,
administrator trying to set up.
Yeah. Earl, you got Tumblr, right?
Yes.
Have you seen the theory that at the end of Captain America 1, there's that kid who's like got the Captain America trash can lid before his mom calls him? There's the theory that that was Coulson, and that like he wanted to be like Captain America so much that he got another dose of the super soldier serum, and that's how he survived.
I will say this much and kind of move on. Tumblr series are insane. Tumblr is insane. They will find the smallest detail and extrapolate the most far-fetched.
Okay, yes. Yes, I know. I had to use Tumblr to save here to block the Loki. I had to block the Loki tag because of some Tumblr people. But anyway, that's something that sounds crazy, but also logical. That makes sense.
I'm not saying it's crazy. I'm just saying in general that I don't really put too much stock into it because, like, it's like the boy who cries wolf. If they say everything has a hidden meaning and everything is like this huge conspiracy, like, I just kind of, you know, base it all out as a group. I mean, again, there are a lot of theories. People have said magic. People have said that it's not a decoy. Some people have even said the vision, which I think is even more far-fetched, but who knows. There's that. I mean, I'll be checking it out. It wasn't the greatest premiere in the world, but I think, you know, I'll give the show through the season. It doesn't seem awful. It just seems like it needs time to really kind of get cooking.
Well, I unfortunately haven't actually watched it yet. I don't have cable at my apartment. So there's a bit of a wait time for me. However, I've been a huge fan of everything that Joss Whedon has done since, well, he first was a writer on Roseanne, essentially. And like, this was created by Joss Whedon, his brother Jed Whedon, and Jed Whedon's wife Marissa Tranchron, who was one of the writers on Dr. Horrible's Sing Along Blog. They're all big dorks. They understand these characters. Joss Whedon himself is a really great character director. And the way that this is looking in terms of the season's production arc is pretty much the same as every one of the shows that he's ever created. So he'll write the pilot episode, he'll write a mid-season, and he'll write the conclusion. But a whole bunch of writers and directors are going to pop in and do the rest of the filler episodes. The nice thing about this is that Joss Whedon is a really great character director, and I feel like if you're going to be dealing with some characters that are not as well known as the heroes of the movies, you really have to give them really well-developed and really well-defined character arcs. So I feel like the show actually has a chance of surviving, but I feel like the ratings of the pilot episode were massive, which is a great thing for the show, but I feel like they're going to slip really quickly as soon as people realize that there's not going to be heroes in every episode. And I know to you and I, the idea of there being like Iron Man or Hulk appearing in an episode seems preposterous because of the level of CGI and the level of money that they would have to pay those actors to show up. But I guarantee you there are large sections of the mainstream audience that are watching that are wondering where the heroes are. So
oh,
I feel like
getting
this.
Assume people. I like you said, I am curious to see what next week's rating does because this one was close to 12 million people. I'm curious to see how many are going to tune out when they realize that you're not getting Robert Downey Jr., you're not getting Chris Evans, you're not getting Thor, you're not getting Hulk.
I'm excited to watch it though, and like, I'm not a huge Marvel fan myself, like And I very much like the Avengers.
So everybody here is sticking with the show, at least, you know, for the immediate future. Like I said, the other big news that came out this week was the announcement that Fox is setting a Gotham TV show, which was sent on the Gotham City Police Department, and its newest detective, James Gordon, who most of us know as Commissioner Gordon in the wider Batman universe.
I'm so excited.
This will be a pre-Batman Gotham, and I think that and I feel like this falls into the same category as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where you might end up with people wondering, like, when is Batman going to show up? When is the Joker going to show up and stuff like that?
Part of me just wants to be cynical about this, but part of me feels like they just did that. They announced that last night to take the wind out of the sails of Marvel.
I mean, part of it has to be that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like one of those things. Like they just did it out of spite.
I don't know if they did it out of spite, but
let's say that you work at Warner Brothers and you have complete control over the DC license and everything that's done with it. And your competition across the street decides to unleash this new show to build on their most popular franchise. Of course you want to take the wind out of it. So
right.
It does not surprise me at all. I'm still going to watch it, though.
Oh, yeah. I'll give it a watch. But part of it just feels kind of – it's one of those things where it's just like – it feels a little bit petty.
That's business.
Hey,
in times like this where companies are cutting each other's throats, the consumer is always the one who wins. So as long as they keep announcing
true.
More crap for me to watch, I will continue to watch. And I am
true.
Really thrilled with this announcement.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think part of it is petty. I think the other part of it is because everybody's kind of on that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. high, that it made the perfect sense because the world kind of sent, I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as they said, I think was the highest rated drama premiere in a decade, in 4 years or something like that. And this is kind of the same thing. It's like, oh man, DC's doing something like this. I mean, granted, DC also runs into that trap, like, oh, DC's copying Marvel again. Which is something they could have avoided because this isn't based off of Gotham Central, but Gotham Central was a decent run in the comic book series in the mid-2000s. One of my absolute favorite comic books of all time. I think it's worth reading if you haven't read it before. And I don't, you know, this can't be Gotham Central because, as we mentioned before, this would be a pre-Batman Gotham. But there are enough crazies and crime elements in Gotham without Batman to do a compelling crime procedural. And there are enough well-known, at least I think well-known, police officers in the Batman universe for people to focus on. You already have Gordon. I think people like Bullock, if they wanted to go old school, they could bring back O'Hare from the Batman 66 show. There's Montoya. There's Bullock. You could have Harvey Dent in there as the district attorney.
You said Bullock twice.
Oh, I really have Bullock.
He really wants Bullock.
Yes. There are other characters. There's Crispin, who becomes the Spectre. There's Flash from Batman Begins, a corrupt cop. So there are a lot of, you know, the cop that Batman scares after he steals the falafel.
Outside of myself, I think you're probably the biggest fan of Batman the Animated Series that I know. And I don't know, and I know that's only one element of the Batman universe, but I always like getting a closer look at the commissioner and the Gotham Police Department. And like, as much as I love Batman and as much as I love Bruce Wayne and everything about that whole shtick, I really like the universe that it's in. And I would love to see a more expanded look at that universe. So I feel like this really is the perfect venue.
And that's absolutely where I am as well, because there are a lot of things. There's a huge world in the Batman universe because he's such a popular character. But Batman tends to overshadow everything because he tends to have to be the focus of this
story.
He's
the reason why the universe exists in the
first
place. Now, I could swear that you and I were talking about this exact same thing like a month ago, where we were talking about Arrow, and we were saying, wouldn't it be so nice if we had one of these, but it was about Batman?
Yeah. And the other thing with Batman, and, you know, I don't want to say people are idiots, but we all know those people. Like, if you have, you had the Christopher Nolan trilogy, and I assume people are going to assume this is tied into that. You have the Ben Affleck series that's coming up in 2 years. And when that premieres, people are going to think this is tied into that. You have Arrow, and then people are going to think that's tied into this. So I think introducing a third Batman in the middle of that would just be really confusing right now. Maybe in a few years they can kind of have him in the background. But for now, I think the idea of not having him there works. There's enough, like I said, there's enough cops, there's enough villains. I think people like Penguin and Black Mask and the Falcones and the Maronis and Robin Daggett and Rupert Thorne.
I would really I would really appreciate them not pulling out the Batman card for a good long while. I just, as much as I love the character, I really do feel like this is the perfect chance for the universe itself to take the spotlight.
Yeah, and I think it's the perfect chance for DC to highlight some of their lesser known characters. Not heroes, but like the lesser known villains, some of their lesser known. Because, you know, that I think that's an element that gets crossed over in comics in general. It's just kind of the civil service side of that. You don't really see many police officers, firefighters, attorneys and any of that stuff because you have to focus.
Could
on
finally
police.
Get Killer Croc.
Killer Croc. You see, I would avoid people like Killer Croc and Clayface and Mr. Freeze. I would do people who kind of have a human angle to them before they became villains. People like the Riddler. People like you could do Victor Freeze, but not Mr. Freeze. You can do
Victor Freeze.
You could do Doctor. You could do Doctor. You know, Doctor Jonathan Crane instead of the Scarecrow. You can do.
Couldn't you do the ventriloquist?
What's the timeline? The Riddler is a professor at the university, as opposed to just some insane person who liked riddles.
I mean, he can still have riddles, but you know, you can have those quirks and have them work in that.
Pretty much do it like
you could
Christopher Nolan's thing and have every villain be a grounded, like you said, like realistic of the villains.
Yeah, I mean, even the Batman animated series kind of did that. You took these characters who had real world, and then something in Gotham corrupted them. And I think one of the reasons, and I'm writing a big article about this as well, so this will be up on the site before the podcast.
Actually, one of my favorite animated series episodes is the one where Batman is on trial. And and the district attorney at the time is well, I think he's either on his side or she's on his side or she's on the side of the villains. But every single time you go to every villain, whether it's like the Mad Hatter or Poison Ivy or the Joker or the Penguin, I mean, obviously all of them are insane to a point and they all have weird motivations. But a lot of the reason why they continue to be repeat offenders is because of him specifically. Because
Batman.
Yeah.
Which is part of
the... Can't just kind of be blamed on him. Like a lot of the... one of the things that a lot of superhero mediums don't understand is a lot of the times the reason why bad things happen around the superhero is because the superhero is there to make bad things happen. If they were not there, maybe it would stop.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that is one of the core complexities with the Batman universe is because, do these people exist because Batman is there? Does Batman exist because these people exist?
Right. There was that episode of the Batman. I think it was the one with the Penguin in the very first season where he's like, did the Freaks bring out Batman or did Batman bring out the Freaks?
Yeah.
And then when you go through that entire series, it's kind of split fairly even.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's why you don't bring in the. This is why you don't bring in the costume versions of them, because if you bring them in before Batman, there's no question Batman exists because they existed. But if you kind of have these people and you see them in their normal lives, and maybe they have some element of corruption to them, because you know ultimately you can't have a goody two shoes who becomes evil. But you know, you have to have that question, that ambiguity. Does Batman bring out the worst in these people, or is he? The answer to their problem, their symptoms. It will be interesting. I believe it premieres. They haven't really given out much details other than Batman isn't in it, and it's going to focus on the young Commissioner Gordon.
Of the villains of the universe, let's say like we were avoiding the Falcones and the Maronis and that sort of thing. Let's say we were only looking at the well-known villains. Which villains would you want to see in this? Before they were all costumed.
Joker, like, when he was in the Red Hood gang?
No. Speaking, I would avoid the Joker. I've always hated giving the Joker an origin, so no Joker, no Jack Nathan, no Red Hood.
All right.
The ones I would see are the ones, again, who work organically into this series. Like I said, Dr. Jonathan Crane, Professor Hugo Strange.
I would want Victor Freeze, personally.
Yeah, Victor Freeze. I would go with
because and this sounds awful, but I want a version of Heart of Ice that doesn't involve Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And I think that would be cool, especially if you started off. You could even start off the series with like his wife being badly damaged and him having to freeze her, and kind of have like a background element throughout the show, wondering if he's ever going to turn evil. Another one I think would work is Azaz. If you wanted to.
Oh yeah, you could totally do Azaz.
And you know, personally speaking, there are two that I want to see, which I really doubt are going to happen. But it would be the Quarter Owls, which is one of the most recent additions to Batman Universe.
Do you think they could do Quarter Owls?
I think, because Quarter Owls, I mean, again, Quarter Owls is an organization that exists in the background, so you just kind of need this organized crime that kind of seeps throughout. And you can have them discover the organization, but not really bust them. The other one I would like to see, and I really doubt this is going to happen, it's just a personal thing of mine, because it's my absolute favorite comic of all time, is I would love to see an adaptation of The Long Halloween, where you had a guy who just kind of killed people on holidays throughout a season, until they ultimately busted him. But that might be too vicious for primetime TV, so we'll see. And ultimately, the other problem I have at this show, not necessarily a problem as a hurdle I see them having to overcome, and this is kind of the same thing I had with Terrible Reach, is ultimately you know that most of what they do doesn't add up to much, because if the Gotham Police Department is too efficient, it makes no sense for Batman to ever come into play. So they have to make progress, but they can't make too much progress. Or they can't make progress fast enough. If that makes sense. Okay. I guess moving right along, the final show that's on TV currently is Arrow. Is anybody watching that?
I love Arrow.
Oh, dude, it's actually really good.
You know, I used to be a fan of Smallville, and at the time, I thought Smallville was really good. And then I watched Arrow, and I realized how terrible, by comparison, Smallville was. It was no Birds of Prey. There have been worse live-action adaptations of DC Comics. But Arrow, I don't know. Going into watching Arrow, I never expected it to be as good as it is. Like, we have this show based on comic books that's on the CW network. I didn't think it was going to survive longer than a season. Because of the type of show it is. And it has such high quality to it. The character is so refined. He isn't treated with the weird old school reverence as the comic book iteration. I just dig it. I like everything about how they presented the show. I think it's really going strongly.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what season 2 does, but I really love the character. Well, okay. I like the characters. I feel like it's a show that knows what it wants to be, and it excels at doing that. I would never kind of call it out for being great in acting and stuff like that, but it has good acting for what it's trying. The characters all know who they are, and they work with
them. Right.
It has very solid action. It knows its budget. It knows its audience. So it's nothing too fanboy or flashy, but it gets the job done.
Right.
He has a terrific catchphrase, which you have failed your city.
Failed this city.
And yeah, for the most part, it felt like Batman Begins. But, you know, Batman Begins is a fantastic movie, so if you're going to steal inspiration from something, you might as well steal from Batman.
That's right.
That's why I'm kind of curious to see what they do with season 2. Like, is it going to be The Dark Knight, or is it going to be like Batman Begins Part 2?
I think one of the things that helps sets it apart is that it's dark, but it's not, like, it's not overly dark. It's also a little bit goofy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, they don't ham it up like the old Batman cartoons, but or like the old Batman show with Adam West, but they don't try and go, like, all dark with Christopher Nolan, where the humor just sort of seems like it's out of place.
Or, like, they don't try and take it too seriously with it, too, which is another big thing that you can do wrong.
Right, they'll throw in jokes, but it's mostly, like, the expense of, like, okay, Oliver's been missing for, like, 5 years, here's what he's missed out on, rather than, oh, this is so silly, I've got, like, a boxing glove arrow, and a tranquilizer dart arrow, and an arrow.
Yeah. And, I mean, some of the characters kind of get on my nerves, but that happens with TV shows. I'm excited to see ya.
Okay. Oh,
and they've
God.
Also...
Her and Roy have the most...
Yeah. I'm kind of curious to see what they do, and they've done a good job with introducing like random DC villains and heroes. I think Huntress and stuff like that. I'm kind of curious to see what they do with season two. We've already known that the Flash is going to show up, and Mandalorian is going to show up. A lot of returning characters as well. So it'll be a fun season.
I think they're going to try and give. I think they're definitely going to try and do Red Arrow, and they may even do Green Arrow Sun by doing Diggle, or by giving Diggle like his own arrows or superhero persona.
I think one sidekick is enough, but we'll see.
I wouldn't call him a sidekick though. I think Diggle's like gone from partner.
Well, I'm not talking about Diggle. I'm talking about Roy. I mean, technically, Roy becomes Red
okay,
Arrow.
Okay, yeah. No, he's totally a sidekick.
Yeah, that's a sidekick.
I hope they don't call him Speedy.
I don't know. I mean, technically, they don't call him Green Arrow anything either. He's what?
True.
Red Hood.
Yeah. So, well, they call him. I guess they have to call him Red Hood. But then I feel like that would cause some trouble with some people.
Yeah, that would cause some trouble with a lot of people since Red Hood's an actual DC character already.
Yeah. It's one of those. Because they also hinted at Nightwing with Bloodhaven in one episode. So I mean, they could probably get away with that, or it's like a joke. It's like, well, why don't you call yourself Red Hood? And he's just like, nah.
I'm kind of curious now with Gotham, like how much is this is going to be divvied up?
Since they're on different networks, I don't think that they would try and cross them together.
No, that's what I mean. It's like that. Then you're going to end up with some people saying, okay, we want Red Haven because we want Nightwing possibly, and
but you can't. But that would also lead to Gotham. The show and the location.
So. Right, that's what I mean. That's why it would make more sense on Gotham than having it in Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe DC has something up, but I remember in the past that DC was very strict on kind of like, we're not going to have many universes, which is why the Justice League cartoon didn't have any Batman villains after the second season, because they had the Batman on TV and they had the rest of the
right.
Launching as well. So we shall see. So yeah, that I believe that's it for currently airing shows or shows in the future. Is there anything you want to add?
How did you feel about how they handled Deathstroke?
I enjoyed it. Deathstroke's an interesting character because, I mean, he's a villain, but, you know, he has to.
Sometimes, though.
Yeah, he's more of an anti, is an anti-villain a term?
No.
Anti-villain.
I think that's just a hero.
Well, no, because you have people who think I would consider...
I think you're right, yeah.
I mean, it depends, because there are certain people that I think are villains, and they look out for their best interest, but they do have a rogue side to them. I think, I don't know if any of you have read this, but Gil Simone's run with Secret Six was really like that. Had these horrible people, but they had a code of honor among thieves, and they didn't do anything that was unnecessary.
Well, he exists in that category for sure. I don't know. I personally like how he was presented. I didn't have any problems with it. There again, I'm not a huge Deathstroke fan. So
sure.
If they really handled him really poorly, it wouldn't have struck me, you know?
And apparently anti-villain is a term.
Is it?
Yeah, so I can Google it. It's on Wikipedia. No. It exists.
Huh.
It's on TV, so I'm counting it. The anti-villain is a villain with heroic goals, personality traits, and or virtues. Their desire ends are mostly good, but their means of getting them are evil. Alternatively, their desired ends are evil, but they are far more ethical or moral than most villains, and thus use very benign means to achieve it and can be downright heroic on occasions. So yeah, pretty much what I said. But yeah, so yeah, we're going to skip. Well, we're going to end it. We're going to back into the past. We're going to get the history of on TV.
Well,
And I think the first show, and I could be mistaken here, but I believe it's the first one, was The Adventures of Superman, which aired in the 40s or early 50s. And this starred George Reeves as Superman, Man of Steel. I assume that if you watch the show.
Nah, that was more my parents' thing.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. It took a lot of inspiration from the animated series that ran before last year. The only thing I really remember about this is I believe George Reeves committed suicide.
Oh. Really?
I'm not 100% on that. I remember he was talked about when I was in like elementary school, middle school-ish age, for something similar to that.
Yeah, apparently he shot himself when he was 45.
Interesting.
It's not been a good time for Superman actors.
Oh, yeah, there was that curse for a while.
Yeah. Well, still kind of exists. I mean, that's himself Brandon Routhin.
I wouldn't say it exists now. I mean, it's probably not... Okay, like... It's not as bad as it was back then.
It's not as bad. Yes, you won't dying or being crippled.
Like, right, like, out of the five actors who have played Superman in real life, three of them are alive. Dean Cain's still alive, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
He may be dead, but Dean Cain's still very much alive.
Okay, I wanted to make sure before I ended up insulting his family or something.
Well, I mean, I guess since we're on this boat, we might as well stick with Superman. And you mentioned the second show with him, which it is.
What the Jesus Christ?
Yes, the always thing's
I thought my I thought my hearing was going bad or something. I thought there was a malfunction.
Ghost and Chuck, New Adventures of Superman, which took the focus off of Superman and onto the romantic subplot between Lois and Clark, played by my dear Terry Hatcher. Anyhow, like I was saying before, Lois and Clark was the New Adventures of Superman with a 1990 show.
I missed that, Earl. I'm pretty sure I didn't hear a single moment of that.
Hush you.
Lois and Clark came after The Adventures of Superman and premiered in the 1960s.
Wait, what?
What?
It premiered in the 1990s.
Oh my god. What year is it?
You're only about 30 years wrong.
Whatever. You know,
how old do you think Dean Cain is? You think he's dead and now you think
I remember
he's
Lois.
Oh, right. He's not that old. I forgot.
I totally remember Lois and Clark from the 90s. I also remember not really liking it.
I liked it. It was like one of my first introductions to Superman. I just remember it also getting really bad and insane at the end. Like, I believe Lois became a clone who ate frogs.
Wait, what?
There was a lot of weird plots.
Because what happened was they wanted to get them married in a TV show, and the comic people were like, okay, you know what, if you're going to do that, hold off a bit, and we're going to get them married in the comic books. But I believe that then they decided to kill Superman for a year, so they had to delay the wedding.
Well, that happened.
And after they delayed the wedding, they had to fake it, so they got married, and then you found out that actually was the replace they were saying with the clone, and the frog, and in order to remain her form, she had to eat, like, frogs or tadpoles or something like that.
Why? Who creates a clone that has to eat frogs to sustain... Whatever.
Yes.
I don't even care.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what audiences said, because the ratings for that show pretty much tanked after this.
I can't imagine why.
It's what you call jumping the shark.
They didn't jump off... No, they didn't jump the shark. They backflipped over that thing onto the frickin' moon.
Yeah, it was a big old bait and switch for the audience, and people didn't like that. So when they eventually got married, they literally named the episode, "This Time You Really, Really Mean It."
So that was your first experience with Superman?
It was like one of my first major exposure, because, I mean, the show came out when I was about, I guess, 7.
And you liked Superman after that?
I was going to say, Earl. See, my first experience with Superman, I watched the first two movies with my dad. And then I wanted to watch the next movie, and he was like, no, no, no son of mine will ever. And then I didn't watch a single Superman movie until I watched Superman Returns, and then after that I went back and I watched Quest for Peace and everything else, and I realized why my dad was so adamantly against me watching
oh,
anything.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I respect him. I respect him now. If he tells me to avoid something, I sure as hell do. Yeah.
did you go to him one day? It's just like, did you see Superman movies? Yep. Did you like them? No. But then did you just share a beer after that, just being like, oh man.
Well, we did that the last time we watched the prequel movies for Star Wars. Because when I was a kid, I was a kid right when Phantom Menace came out. And I remember really liking it. And I remember not hearing
Yeah, me too.
And I remember really enjoying Revenge of the Sith. And to be fair, I don't hate them. I just really don't like them when you compare them to the original movies. But I saw all of them with my dad. And me and my dad have always kind of bonded over dorky movies. And just last week, we were watching Star Wars. And my dad's like, do you want to watch the original or the prequel trilogy? And I was like, let's not waste our time. So, we have kind of an unspoken understanding of each other's taste now. So if he frowns upon something, I usually heed his advice. Yeah.
There you go. Speaking of crappy things, there was also a Superboy show in the 80s.
Why?
Because they wanted to really, really leverage that Christopher Reeve movie franchise.
Was there a show about Superman's dog?
That was a cartoon.
There was a cartoon. I don't know if there was.
How sad is that? And we had a Supergirl movie. Just like let's take everything that isn't Superman and sucks, and let's make something out of it. God,
I think they even got the voice for the original Superman cartoon, or the Superman animated series, to do the voice of Superman for the dog cartoon.
That would make sense.
Oh God, it was so bad. I think I remember the theme song too. That's the sad part about it.
For Crypto?
Yes.
Good times.
Yeah, no, I want to strangle myself.
I've never seen that show.
Don't. They've got Ace the Bat Hound in it. That should tell you all you need to know.
Ace the Bat Hound's cool.
Yeah, but he's wearing the mask of Batman.
Which he should, since he's Ace the Bat Hound.
And there's a Flash version of a cat named Streaky.
okay, to be fair,
you can't justify these.
Well, you can, kind of, because if we're looking at the comics that most of these mediums are based on, the reasoning is kind of stupid too. Like, I love Batman, but if you look at those early comics, like there's a shark repellent spray. Who makes
okay.
the spray?
Okay, yeah, but they haven't. No one's used a shark.
Like,
no one has legitimately used
by sharks. Time to break out the aerosol. Like,
but no one has legitimately used the shark repellent as a plot device since like the freaking Arkham City joke with the shark, where you get an achievement for punching it in the face.
Mm. Well, yeah.
So 2 years ago.
We know better now, but it was in the 90s? No.
Well,
people didn't know
it
was in the 90s.
Have you ever used bat shark repellent on a shark?
Yes, in my dreams.
If I could, I would.
So we don't know if it doesn't work.
Do you want to try?
I'm not going to be attacked by a shark anytime soon.
Yeah, No, let's do this for Shark Week. When's the next Shark Week?
Just had Shark Week, so next year.
Well, when they're filming Sharknado 2, we'll like hop on set and test it out.
Okay. But speaking of back shark repellent,
oh my God!
Damn.
So how many of you have seen this show?
I have seen every episode and the movie, and I loved all of it.
I've seen the movie and some episodes of the show.
I've seen enough of it.
You can never see enough
that answers that question.
if you're the type of person who is like, what a hammy TV show, I can't believe they ever did this, I would be the type of person to punch you in the face for saying that. Because it is such a gift to the world. I don't think anyone really understands the value of Adam West's Batman.
It's something.
Actually, no. I think Joel Schumacher probably understands the value of
that. Yeah, we don't,
I think he understood the value. He didn't get the value, though.
He understood something.
I love it. I know how campy it is. I know how off the wall the plots are. But it's so, it knows what it is, and it takes itself so seriously. And regardless of what you can say about its abject quality, it works, and it's entertaining. It's just fundamentally entertaining.
Abject quality, I would say for its time, and this is being that, you know, I was born in the 60s, apparently, but I think it was a phenomenal show it was going for. It was a very different type of TV show. I mean, we don't have the market that we have nowadays. People probably wouldn't give a show like this a second chance. But the whole setup with having the, you know, the cliffhanger and have the episode air the next day for part two, very different stuff that, you know, probably could return these days, but I don't know if any network have the balls to try it.
And Adam West is a friggin' saint. Like, that man is a treasure that I don't think, and I know everyone loves him because of Family Guy, and that kind of bugs me, because he has done a whole lot of stuff. The Grey Ghost episode is probably my favorite of Batman the Animated Series, and Adam West makes it, you know what I mean? So
that's a fantastic one. He also does a good job. I mean, as far as I know, he's been in almost every Batman animated series since the animated series. He's been in the Batman. He's been in Brave and the Bold.
He was in Brave and the Bold?
Yeah, I forget what episode. I think he was Proto.
Proto.
The giant bat bot that was kind of so.
Oh, the, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Proto do good? Yeah, that was Adam West.
All right. Has he been in Beware the Batman yet?
I don't think any of them have been in Beware the Batman yet.
Okay.
I also figured that it's probably still early, like, if that show's on for this world anyhow. But, yeah, because usually they don't do it until, like, the second season or so, just to kind of give the show its own identity. Even though I believe he was the mayor in the Batman, but he was in there a bit more often. So, yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic show. I'm really disappointed, though, because it's not only on the hubs, I don't know where to find it. And for some reason, they still haven't put it on Netflix or released the DVDs. Ah, so disappointed, so disappointed. But, yeah, certain people don't like it, so we're going to move on. We've actually spent a couple of minutes on DC, so let's switch over to the other company and talk about Marvel, who haven't done as much live action until Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but they did a 70s Spider-Man show, and I only like it because the theme song sounds like a porno.
All right. What porn are you watching where you think that's porn music? Wait, never mind, there it is.
So you can hear it.
Oh, it's definitely very
I'm guessing that Spider-Man solves problems with his penis, right?
He does ejaculate right.
You know, does whatever Spider can. That's why they called him amazing.
It was the Amazing Spider-Man. This is the show that uses that title. Apparently, this is why none of the anime series have been able to use it. And this is a problem. And this is a problem with a lot of superheroes. It's like the budget for this in the 70s was just terrible. So the special effects are awful. I think his web was like a giant rope that just kind of flung off scene into the shot.
Yeah. I think the major problem with a lot of these live action iterations of comic book heroes is that they really require a really strong production team and a fair amount of money to make it believable. Like, have you seen Turkish Batman?
No, I have not.
Tur- Irish Batman, it is exactly what it sounds like. It was a version of Batman done for Turkish audiences, where the main character dressed as Batman, and the plot was like a Batman plot, but he rode around on a bicycle because that was the only vehicle that they had available. So,
oh god,
it's fun to watch because it sucks, but it's one of these things like if you don't have a fair amount of money and a and the action was serviceable and the driving sequences were decent. Whereas stuff like 70s Spider-Man, and I think I've only seen one episode, it's kind of cringeworthy, really. I mean, at no point do you really feel like you're watching a superhero story. Maybe that's just me.
I guess speaking of foreign superheroes, there was also a Japanese Spider-Man series. And I believe this one's more Spider-Man in name. I think he had like a motorcycle, and I believe he transformed.
What, into like a man? Into like Man Spider?
I think he transformed into a giant robot. I could be mistaken.
wait, the biker Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yeah. Robot in disguise.
Oh. Okay. No, that makes much more sense than Spider-Man having a motorcycle. But why would he turn into a robot?
I don't know.
Wait, who made this? Oh, wait, okay, it's Japanese. Then I guess, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Because they kind of like giant robots.
Yeah, but you don't like you don't do that with Spider-Man.
Well, I don't know, dude. I mean, they've always got like those toy sets where it's just like Spider-Man can now transform into his own like. Skyhook thingamajigger.
Yeah, but that's a different market, I think. Kids' toys, I guess?
Yeah, I guess, but I guess they were trying to, like, make a toy deal out of that, where, you know how, like, they've got those, like, Batman battle armor things, where you, like, it's 1 minute it's Batman, next thing you can turn into, like, this giant super tank or whatever.
Yeah.
I get, that's the only thing I can think of.
And there was one more show that Marvel did, which was The Incredible Hulk, which starred David Banner.
That is the one Marvel superhero that I could never not be really fond of. I love that. I love the character. I love all the plots. And I love that score. Oh, it's so sad. Keep doing it.
I don't know the whole thing. I'm not going to keep doing it.
This is also one of those TV shows.
No, really.
This is also one of those TV shows that explains like, the entire plot to you during the opening credits.
When I moved I'm in a new apartment now, and I've moved cities, and I as soon as I pulled out of what was my old home's driveway, I actually played that song as I was driving away. I think I was walking the street, but what are you gonna do?
Okay, but yeah, and this also spawned several TV movies, including The Death and Return of the Incredible Hulk. Even though, ironically enough, I believe it didn't have a proper ending because of that. And as far as I know, I believe that's all that Marvel has done. But before we get back to DC again, there were two other companies. I believe there was Blade, the series on MTV.
Oh, man.
That's all we're going
to
say about
that.
Yeah,
that's all you need to say.
Yeah, the guy who played Blade, his name was like Kurt Sticky Fingers Jones. That's all you need to know about how that show went.
I didn't dislike it, actually.
Like, it was okay, but it wasn't anything spectacular.
Here's the thing. I feel like if you have problems with that TV show, which was pretty much on the quality level of the movies, you should have problems with the movies. And I'm sure you guys probably do have some problems with the movies, but I feel like there are a lot of problems with the movies that people tend to gloss over.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I haven't seen the trilogy in quite some time. I'm pretty sure if I watch it again, I could find some glaring problems.
Yeah, it's one of these things. Like, I accepted the Blade movie. Like, I was never a fan of the Blade comics, to be frank. I liked the movies. I really didn't like the third movie, but I liked the movies in general. And I felt like the TV show, in spite of not starring Wesley Snipes in the titular role, was kind of, like, I thought it was decent for what it was. A Spike production based on a Marvel comic. You know? Could have been worse, I guess. Let's talk about The Tick.
Tick. Completely forgot about that one.
Well, The Tick,
was that Patrick Warburton, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it
was. Oh my god.
The Tick isn't on here because he decided to separate it, and we might do a future episode on TV shows with comic book elements that aren't related to actual comic books, like Heroes and The Tick. And I think there was a Mutant X show, even though that was somewhat related to the X-Men. There were a couple of other shows. Alphas, I think, is up there as well.
Oh, I love Alphas. I loved Alphas.
Yeah. And then there was this show, which I want to forget as much as possible.
Heroes?
Ninja Turtles. Well, that's a show I want to forget as well. But Ninja Turtles The Next Mutation. I believe we crapped on the show before on this podcast.
I haven't seen it before. The only thing I know is that the Ninja Turtles one time teamed up and fought the Power Rangers.
Yes, and that was
the
moment.
And there's a girl Ninja Turtle for some reason.
Venus de Milo.
Why?
The fifth Ninja Turtle.
My God.
The fifth. Okay.
Can you explain this to me?
Okay, I'm just going to explain the part to you to explain to you how terrible this show is. She is a fifth Ninja Turtle. They don't. I forget if they explain how she came to be, but she was hidden off in Japan with another sensei, and she has the ability to access like this dream zone, and this is how she finds out about.
Nope. Move on.
Okay, but to be fair,
the concept of the series are teenage mutant ninja turtles.
It's supposed to be pretty tongue-in-cheek.
Listen, I understand. You're a dork, I'm a dork. We accept these premises pretty willingly. But if you're drawing the line in the sand because we're pulling someone in from the dream world, you have to understand that the premise of the show is kind of preposterous in the first place.
As a counterpoint, the current Ninja Turtles cartoon has talking brain squid people from another dimension. And that sounds. That sounds more believable than a fifth turtle being hidden by her sensei and finding out about the others through a dream zone. Like, there's a limit on what kind of bullshit you can let slide.
I feel like I have this dialogue with other dorks far too often about where the line of believability actually is.
It's always funny when people jerk.
Sharknado with some friends, and in case you haven't seen Sharknado, the masterpiece that it is, tornadoes being full of sharks are blowing up with propane tanks. And my friend was like, "This is so unrealistic. You can't stop a tornado with a propane tank." And I turned to him and I was like, "It's a movie about tornadoes full of sharks.
With sharks.
If you're talking about realism." I feel like if it's fiction, it's fiction. It may not make sense within the context of the universe, and I get that argument, but you really can't throw out the argument that it sounds preposterous, because I'm going to tell you right now, the concept of teenage mutant ninja turtles is really preposterous in itself.
But like, it's not so much the preposterous of it. My beef with this series, and this is really where it lost me, was the fact that she was able to erase Shredder's mind and became Roman Hobo in the series. And it had no budget, so his costume was literally made out of foam. And it just looked awful. But moving on. I guess since we kind of crapped on Marvel with Spider-Man and Blade, we should also talk about DC's Lesser Affairs, which have included stuff like Birds of Prey.
I do not have a high opinion of that show.
I'm pretty sure I blocked that from my mind.
I think most people did. I remember being so hyped because they advertised it with like footage of Batman and Catwoman and stuff like that. They even had Batman and Catwoman in the opening sequence of the show. which pretty much tells you that Batman and Catwoman will not be in this show. It pretty much tells you that Batman's also a deadbeat dad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There was that. I think that's all we need to say about that. And I think the other ones, I think, are of... Oh, okay. Well, I'm really just... I should have done this in alphabetical order. The other ones, I think, are more of decent quality. I don't know. You know, I think some people might find some enjoyment. Shazam, for instance, was a very old show. But it had, you know, it did bring the character Captain Marvel.
I feel like I've heard about Shazam, and I feel like it's a show that I would actually watch. Because I love Shazam, the superhero.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Okay, to be fair, this is the only superhero that can really go toe-to-toe with Superman. What do you think about it?
Well, I mean, there are others in the DC Universe, like Captain Atom. It's another one that you should do often. Oh. Another show that... What were you going to say?
I was going to say, when you say go up against, do you mean, like, can legitimately go up against them without, like, some sort of bullshit, arbitrary reason?
Well, yeah. Okay, this is the only, like, okay. If you look at Superman's weaknesses, obviously he has a weakness to kryptonite, but he also
and magic.
Has magic. And Shazam's whole deal is magic. So, unless you want to send Batman strapped to, like, a dynamite's worth of kryptonite, like, into a battle with Superman, this is why Injustice, the video game, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Because
all these fuckers are just going to beat you. Half of them are going to catch up.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Captain Atom, where he's able to convert energy, and he can usually kind of create aggregates on energy to drain Superman's strength.
Mm.
But another classic DC show, and I mostly know it because of the theme song.
Woman!
All the world's waiting for you. And the power you possess. In your satin tights, fighting for your rights. And the old red, white, and blue. Wonder Woman!
It's a very.
Wonder Woman!
I found my new.
Wonder Woman!
That's gonna be my ringtone from now on.
Yeah.
The whole world's waiting for you,
Wonder Woman.
But yeah, I mean, this show I think this show and Super Friends is responsible for the fact that most people hate the Invisible Jet because they always have to show the characters, so you just see like somebody in thin air floating.
I still think it's really disappointing that we haven't actually seen a Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah.
Like she's always been such a central figure to the Justice League, and she's just never gotten the time of day.
I'm half and half because I understand what they're saying, where they want to get it right, because we have seen DC get it really wrong before. We've seen Green Lantern.
We've seen Supergirl.
We've seen Catwoman. DC can get it really wrong.
Oh, God.
So I do want them to make the best possible Wonder Woman movie, but at the same time, at some point you need to pull the trigger and do this movie. You can't wait until it's absolutely perfect because you keep on starting over.
It also feels a bit unfair since they've given Superman and Batman, like, 5 chances at this point.
I mean, technically they've already given Batman 2 and Superman 3.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I completely agree. DC needs to expand beyond their core. I mean, to be fair, they do expand beyond their core characters.
Maybe
it's really awful movies. Jonah Hex, Green Lantern, Catwoman, Supergirl.
Yeah, we don't talk about those projects, but and it might just be me, but I don't think that from the way that people reacted to those Clash of the Titan movies, it's probably not as hard as they are making it sound.
No, to be fair, I don't think many people enjoyed those Clash of the Titans.
Okay, but you could still make the case that they did, that on some level they did sort of work as far as like the Greek, as like as far as Greek deities, and you could also throw in God of War as well.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what's the real holdup. I can see if they don't have the right actress. But yeah, some of the excuses they give is that she's too hard, she has too many origins, do people relate to her nowadays, and I mean, that's all bullshit. I mean, how many of us actually relate to a guy in a bat costume?
Good point.
How many of us have, like, a limitless supply of money and, like, multiple shell companies working in our benefit?
Exactly.
I mean, I do. I don't know about you guys.
Exactly. And, I mean, how many people get to beat up poor people for the fun of it?
Well, I do. I do have to work.
Story.
Yeah. You got a lot of...
You don't know what I do in my spare time.
But, yeah, it's a shame. It's even worse that, I mean, and we'll probably, we can probably talk about this now, but there have also been several aborted TV shows where they've done politics and never kind of gone beyond that. And there was a Wonder Woman series like that. Just recently, 2 years ago.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that, actually.
I saw the photo from it, and I was just like, nope.
I didn't mind it so much. It's kind of like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think it had some problems, but I think over the course of the series, it could have been ironed out. I don't know how much they could have done with the costume, but I actually think I prefer her with pants or with like a skirt. I think the whole running around in like brown panties just looks really weird, and I still don't get why they keep her that way.
Yeah.
Like, of all the things, that's the thing that they feel is most iconic about her. They can change Superman and Batman's costume every other week, though.
Right. And I feel like the way that they had this, the way that the script was supposed to go, from the way it sounded, like, there's supposed to be like a scene like she cries while eating ice cream, and there's supposed to be like a scene set to like Single Ladies from Beyonce. That just sounded really kind of not. It sounded like something that would be in a Bring It On movie.
Well, you see, I don't want to open this can of worms, but I always feel like this is always a tough thing to do when you're dealing with any non-white male characters, is because at some point they do need to have normal characterizations. Like, I understand that, you know, like, oh, it's a woman crying while eating ice cream, but at the same time, you do want to humanize Wonder Woman.
Right.
I think that's the things that sometimes alienates people from the character, is like, if she's like this outsider all the time, at some point she does kind of need to kind of mend into man's world, as they say.
Right. But
it's not like that, though. Well, I mean, it depends on how you set it up. If it's just her, like, if some dude breaks her heart and she's doing that, she's one of the ones she shouldn't.
Right.
But if she's enjoying ice cream and watching a movie or something.
Yeah. The way it sounded, it was that, like, some dude just broke up with her, and that's why she was eating ice cream.
Yeah, I believe she was in... I forget. I saw it about ages ago. But, yeah, it wasn't set up well.
Right.
But there were certain scenes, I think, that... I think there was another one with a boardroom scene where they're giving out a Benedict of doll, and she's talking about the size of the doll's breast or something like that. And I thought that worked well.
Right.
I really want to go back and watch this now. The other one that was recent was the Aquaman pilot that was part of Smallville.
Oh yeah, was that any good? I never got around to seeing it.
I enjoyed that as well. I believe that and the Wonder Woman part, not the 2011 one, but the old one, are included on one of DC's animated features.
Really?
I thought the Aquaman show had a lot of potential. I mean, they set it up where he would have spent most of his time on land, but they could have brought him to the sea for various things as well. Like, they would have had elements from the sea coming to find him and attack him instead of having to live under the sea. I thought the actor was pretty good and the setup was really nice. It seemed like it had potential.
Did you ever see the little backdoor, or I guess not backdoor pilot, but the little thing that they did for Blue Beetle back, like, in 2011, I think it was?
Yeah, I feel like they keep on saying they're still trying to get that to work, but I don't know. I've also seen the Justice League one. I think we don't want to talk about that at all. I will just say this. It's a Justice League without Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. That's all you really need to know. All
right.
So that's not a Justice League. And I saw bits and pieces of the original Super Bowl part this week as I was putting together content for the site. And that was a very 50s show.
Oh, do you remember, I think it was, they tried to also, they were talking about trying to do a TV show for Robin and one for Raven separately. Like, I think the Robin one was shortly came before, or was planned before Smallville was ending. It was, like, going to be called The Graysons. Instead, you're going to call Dick DJ.
Sorry.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because I guess they didn't want, because, you know, nowadays Dick means something else. So I guess, I don't know how they got, I don't know how DJ got better.
What would it then, be, though?
I don't know. I think.
Hey, why would you call him DJ? Isn't his name Richard?
I think his known name is John.
Yeah, but why not just call him Richard if you think Dick's too much of a hassle?
I don't know. They're dumb. I may be wrong on this, but I think he was supposed to be in high school or junior high.
Which would make sense, except, I mean, he's one of those.
Well, could he be in high school since his family is part of a traveling circus, though? And they're only in town for a few days?
Well, I assume maybe. I mean, I don't know the circus life. Maybe they have shows during the summer and he stays throughout the year.
I guess. And then the Raven one, they never even got off the door. They even got off the bat, but they just said that they had looked at Raven as someone who could possibly have her own show.
Yeah, and then they saw that she was a female and they canceled her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was also like. Well, never mind. But I don't think that you could get a lot done with Raven. That wouldn't quickly become depressing.
Yeah. It's not even depressing. I mean, it's demons and stuff. It's
yeah. Well, I mean, like, if you want to go into, like, how she was created, I'm pretty sure that would probably, like, now these days, that would probably piss off quite a few people, depending on how it was handled.
He'd be played by Aubrey Plaza.
As much as I like Aubrey Plaza, good one.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't even joking. You'd most likely be paid by her.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's true.
So yeah, and I guess the final two shows on our list to wrap it up would be the Flash TV show from the early 90s.
Which is actually not half bad, honestly.
Really? No, I actually enjoyed it. Oh. It's kind of funny to... because this is...
Did you see the pilot for the Aquaman?
For what?
There's a live action that was never actually produced. They've only released a pilot.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
He's, like, breaking up big time for me.
It's okay, there's been a bit of interference, I think, this whole podcast, in fairness.
Never fine. Yeah, Flash is kind of funny because it's kind of it kind of succumbs to the pressure that Smallville never did, because it pretty, like, after they cast the season, they decided to introduce more of the Flash's rogue gallery, so people like the Prankster and I think Trickster came onto the show, where before it was just like him dealing with street level thugs and solving crimes. Then they started introducing actual, and I think this is Mark Hamill's first foray into DC comic characters, as he played the pranks on this show before going on to play the Joker. And finally, this was an iffy one to include on our list, The Green Hornet, which is based on a radio play, which was then turned into a comic book, which is then turned into a TV show.
It's got an interesting backstory. I don't know much about The Green Hornet, to be honest.
Which was then turned into a movie.
Yeah.
Well, much later turned into a movie. But yeah, this actually was very similar. This is very similar in tone and design to the Batman Adam West series. It even has the same exact narrator, and it was on the same network, I believe. I believe there's a crossover episode between the two of them.
Huh.
So, since you're a huge fan of Adam West Batman, I assume you dropped this show as well.
Maybe not.
Okay, so is there anything else you anything else you folks want to say before we begin to wrap?
I enjoyed Smallville at once they started introducing new DC characters.
I enjoyed Smallville in general, but the ending of that series was frustrating.
Yeah, they kind of pulled some last minute bullshit.
Yeah, it's not like it was the best 10 years of my life, but it quickly became.
Oh God.
In that last 10 minutes, it became the worst 10 years of my life.
Oh, I'm still pissed about what they did with Jimmy.
You mean other Jimmy?
I swear to God. Dude, that pissed me off. It was just like, oh my God, Jimmy's dead. And they turned into this kiss. It's like, here you are, Jimmy. It's just like, why would you even do that?
Have you never taken your younger brother's name for a job?
I don't have a younger brother.
But then you don't know how it feels, Jimmy.
I guess not yet. No, I'll just take my sister's name. All right, my name's Olivia now. And then, like, just to add complete insult to injury, they cast the guy again during the series finale for, like, 10 seconds, just to remind us all.
Was he Jimmy in that again?
Yeah, he was. It was, like, the last 2 or 3 minutes that they showed him.
So yeah, I watched Smallville. I was not vested into it. I watched it on and off again. So I was happy that I didn't have to waste 10 years to find out that ending. I did watch Oath and Chalk, so I guess I made up for it by having the Frosty. On the bright side, both of them had extremely high Osage, so we can't really complain on that reason.
Nope. How do you guys feel about The Flash going to get his own TV show again and being in Arrow?
I'm really curious to see the act first, because I really think it's odd that he's like 20. So I thought they would go with somebody a bit older if you want to have like this forensic scientist. I think he's from that high school.
Yeah. You can take this for what it's worth, but he is too good looking to be on that show, or to be The Flash in general.
Well, I mean, they're never too good to be in the CW.
Yep. Okay, that's a good point. No,
headshots to CW, not acting reels.
True. Have you seen the new posters that they've done for Arrow Season 2?
I don't get it. I don't get it. Why is everybody shirtless? Where did their shirts go?
Because why not?
Because when you have a show, you're literally designed around the idea of a character who wears a mask and a hood. The perfect way to advertise that is to have him shirtless.
You just know that marketing team is just ran by women, right? You just know the marketing team is ran by women. They're trying to see how far they can get what they can get away with, right?
I think they know their audience, because it was him, it was Diggle, it was Roy. Why is Diggle shirtless?
It was Roy. I don't even know. That's the weird part. I can kind of get. I get why Roy is shirtless. I can even get why Deathstroke is shirtless, but I don't get why he's shirtless.
Yeah, I don't. I'm gonna start rapping because like, we're getting some really funky static here.
Yeah, I'm hearing that too.
Yeah, I'm hearing that too. Someone's
unwrapping something.
So yeah, we're going to rap. Yeah, check out the site. We have a poll up this weekend. You know, we haven't really done this. We'll pull up this budget for the live action show of all the ones we just talked about. We've had content. We have an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. review. We have a Superboy pilot. We're going to have something about Gotham up by the end of this week. We'll have more on this. It's been, you know, it's very nice getting out ahead of these things now and just scheduling content around it. Trent will have his Ask a Doc up this week. Hopefully, by this time this goes up, I'll have my Mario and Luigi Dream Team review out there. We'll have 151 proof movies, which we actually have done a new thing with. We have all the movies we have been suggested is now on a Google spreadsheet that anybody can view. and you can leave comments for possible suggestions. You can't actually add anything because I didn't want anybody like adding crap we couldn't vet or people just like deleting stuff because people are dicks like that. So yeah. So check that out, you know. All the great content, comic book reviews up on this website. This final week of Forever Evil, Burns Month in DC Comics. We have Battle of the Atoms going on in the Marvel Universe and stuff like that. So check all of that out. New shows are premiering all the time, so we'll probably have reviews up of those as we can. We already do premieres and pilots, really. I find reviewing individual TV shows to be odd concepts, since a lot of them are kind of not self-contained.
True.
So yeah, there's that. I want to thank Trent and Justin for joining us this week. For everybody on this show, this has been Nerds on the Rock, episode 145.